It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a wonderful day today. I'm glad that you've joined us. And we're studying the book of Joshua. That's Joshua chapter 12. We're going to read that chapter today, and we may even get into the 13th chapter a little bit because it really speaks of the victories that we've already dealt with. We're going to look at the map a little bit today, so please open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 12. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. Just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And our website, if you'd like to visit our website, it would be www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Now, I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Joshua chapter 12, we'll begin reading. Verse 1. Now these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote, and possessed their land on the other side Jordan towards the rising of the sun, from the river Arnon unto Mount Hermon, and all the plain on the east. Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and ruled from Aroer, which is upon the bank of the river Arnon, and from the middle of the river, from the half of Gilead, even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon, and from the plain to the sea of Chinnoth on the east, and unto the sea of the plain, even the salt sea on the east, and the way to Beth Jethmoth, and from the south under Ashdoth Pisgah, and the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was the remnant of the giants, and dwelt in Ashtaroth and at Edra, and reigned in Mount Hermon, and in Salca, and in all Bashan, unto the border of the Geshurites, and the Maacathites, and half of Gilead, and the border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Them did Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the children of Israel smite. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it for a possession unto the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half of Manasseh. And these are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel smote on this side Jordan, on the west, from Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon, even unto Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, which Joshua gave unto the tribes of Israel for a possession according to their divisions. In the mountains, and in the valleys, in the plains, in the springs, in the wilderness, in the south country, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The king of Jericho won. The king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, won. The king of Jerusalem won. The king of Hebron won. The king of Jarmuth won. The king of Lachish won. The king of Eglon won. The king of Gerza won. The king of Derbe won. The king of Geder won. The king of Horham won. The king of Arad won. The king of Libna won. The king of Adullam won. The king of Makkedah won. The king of Bethel won. The king of Tepa won. The king of Hefer won. The king of Aphek won. The king of Lasharon won. The king of Adon won. The king of Hazor won. The king of Shimron Meron won. The king of Aksha won. The king of Tanakh won. The king of Megiddo won. The king of Kadesh won. The king of Jachnam and Carmel won. The king of Dor in the coast of Dor won. And the king of the nations of Gilgal won. The king of Tirzah won. And the kings 30 and 1. It's the end of the reading of that 12th chapter, and so let me please begin with prayer before we start the study. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come, enjoy this precious time. I thank you for your precious word. And when we read chapters like this, that it's just the king, the city and the king, the city and the king, most of the time we just pass by those. But it's every word that is recorded for us in this precious book is for our learning. And so please help us to glean over these verses of Scripture, your precious word, and show us your truth today. I thank and praise you for this opportunity. Please, that you will make so clear to those that are lost today that the only way to be saved is to come by faith to the Lord Jesus and believe that he died on the cross for them, that he was God, man, come to this earth, left glory, came down to save us. And the only way that we could be saved, the only way to be saved, is to come by faith to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, believing that he is our Savior. He died on the cross of Calvary. He rose again. And by doing that, that he had gave us victory over sin. And so please, dear Father, please that you'll touch every heart with the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus. And then those of us that are saved, please continue to help us to grow each day and learn more and more about you and serve you in a better way every day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a wonderful time we have to come and study God's precious word. I'm glad that you have joined us today. In this 12th chapter, we look at this, and there was a there's victories that we win as we go through this life. Some of the victories, the full victories, we will not attain until we get into the presence of our Lord in heaven. But there are battles, battle after battle after battle. And these, as we have looked in the past and have looked at the 11th chapter and then on into the 12th chapter. The 11th chapter is the final blow of the northern, what we'd kind of call the northern kingdom, what ended up to be Israel for a period of time before the divided kingdoms were all taken captive into Babylon. But Israel is the northern kingdom, Judah is the southern kingdom. And so it seems that we have Jericho, then Ai, and then we have a battle that seems to sweep to the south, and then we turn and have taken of the north this last time, and it seemed to have been led by the king of Jerusalem, if you'll remember right. That was one of the battles, and then. As we look back at the beginning of the 11th chapter here, it says, "And it came to pass when Jabin king of Hazor had heard those things that he sent Jabod king of Madon and king of Shimron and the king of Akshur and the kings that were on the north of the mountains of the plains of the south of Shinaroth, and in the valley in the borders of Dor on the west, and the Canaanites on the east and on the west, and the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the mountains." And we find that all those, and when all these kings met together, this is in verse 5, when all these kings met together, that took the one kingdom, and the 10th chapter is of the one in Jerusalem and how those kings joined together. And so as we look each time at each battle, we find that there were probably 300,000 foot soldiers, 10,000 horses came against Israel. But it didn't matter because God gave the victory in both areas. And so now, at this time here in the Scripture, this is about 1,450 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus, that the land of Israel has finally taken its occupancy, not full occupancy, because it goes all the way over to the to the east a great distance yet. But for now, for the tribe's size and the what they hold and needed to possess to feed their families, this was adequate. And we have the 2.5 tribes on the one side of the Jordan. And as we look, that would be on the east side of the Jordan, and then those that are on the west side of the Jordan. So we come up, and what we had listed this past week, and again now in this 12th chapter, as we kind of have a summary of everything, of the south and the north sections, because you see, when they came in at Jericho, they came in at Ai. That was kind of in the center, and then they went to the south and to the north and took care of all the lands. Moses took care of the lands for on the east side of the Jordan River, and now Joshua had the responsibility to take care of everything on the west side. And if you would look why now, today, why that is much of the of Jordan. It entertains the Gaza Strip. It is what is known as Israel today. We have cities of Tel Aviv, the Jerusalem, what you hear on the news of the West Bank. We have Syria, Lebanon, all those areas now at this time in the book of Joshua is all under the rule of Israel. Now, there are some battles that need to be fought, because if you'll notice when we get to chapter 13, it says, "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. The Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to possess." So they didn't go after it all like they were supposed to. They kind of come in and was comfortable. I don't know if you've ever purchased a house, and maybe you did some remodeling. And when you purchased the house and you worked and you worked and you worked, and then you got it far enough along that you could move in. And when you moved in, then all of a sudden, everything, you were tired, you've worked hard, and all of a sudden you just kind of sit down and you just rest. And that rest many times lasts for years. You know, you're busy with other family things, other things going on, and all of a sudden the trim, the lights, the closet doors, all these things, and that's all things that I myself have been very guilty of, because once you move in, and, you know, the first month goes by, and yeah, I'm going to get started on that. And maybe you've, you know, the money that you spend in all the fixing up, why, then the money's a little tight for a little bit. So you just, I'm going to wait, you know, and we'll get these things taken care of. Well, it just continues, and all of a sudden you become very comfortable, and some of the things that you haven't finished don't really bother you. And years go by sometimes until they get tended to, if ever. And if you've ever been in a project like that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's the same thing. Every time when you finally move in, then everything quits. Well, it's kind of the same thing with Israel. When they moved in and they took that original battles, and I mean, they watched the power of God give them victory after victory against mighty armies. God brought them up early. One time he brought them to battle at night, if you remember right, and then he held the sun for another day so that they could get all the full victory against the enemy. And then we find as they go north, and so you have Syria and Lebanon, Jordan, and we can, again, the Gaza Strip. And we have the West Bank, is the nation of Israel. All this is contained in this section. Golan Heights, you hear that quite often on the news. They're very familiar areas that you can imagine. All this is possessed now by Israel. But again, we know by the scripture in chapter 13 that is not all of it. Now let's kind of back up now, and we find that to begin with, I want you to see the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, those that were listed here. There was a group of them, and Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, they're all descendants, as we had that one little group there, and as you look through their connection there with Canaan, that's Ham's son. And so, you know, as we look to the east side, you find family members from Lot's two virgin daughters that come out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so we have the descendants from Lot is on the one side, and then we even find the descendants of Ham here on this side. We know that we have from Abraham, you have the descendants through Isaac, and then we also have the other family through Hagar. And so as we look at that, then there comes all of the Arab nations. And so it doesn't take very long for us to kind of look at all the family members, and they are kind of joined together. They're half, related, as so often is today. But you see that now with this whole section. And, of course, we find that Hagar's descendants and through Sarah, through her descendants, all both of them fathered by Abraham, that we have a battle that has went on. It has never ended, and it never will end until our Lord comes and gives us the victory, which will be at the Battle of Armageddon, and then he comes and to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And so as you look, you need to see, and you go back to Genesis chapter 10, verses 15 through 18, and see the list of those names, and that way you'll kind of see who comes out of Canaan, which is the accursed son of Ham. Ham, Shem, and Japheth are Noah's three sons, if you weren't familiar with that name. So Noah came through the ark, and on the ark he had himself, his wife, Ham and his wife, Shem and his wife, and Japheth and his wife, and that was all. There was eight people saved, and they then repopulated the earth. And we know that Ham was judged by the Lord. But you go to Genesis chapter 10, verses 15 through 18. Now there are 31 kings in all here. There are 31 that are listed, and with this 31, they were all conquered and subdued by the sword of Israel. The hand of God went before them, but they were all dealt with and conquered by Israel. You know, some out in the middle of the battlefield, others in their own towns and cities, but they are all here, they were all counted, and they were all named. And there's 31 kingdoms. Now, out of that 31 kingdoms, we find that they are divided them among 9.5 tribes of Israel. And so, because we're just talking about the west side, and so the east side, why we have the 1.5 tribes that are left, and those were listed here, and we will see those. And so we need to understand that as these battles went on, that all Manasseh, and we have the division of Manasseh stayed on the east side, and as we look through, Gad stayed on the east side, and then the last one, we have Gad, Asher, Naphtali. As you come down through and list them, Reuben, Simeon, Zebulun, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Manasseh, Ephraim, Benjamin, and 1.5 of those tribes stayed on the west side of the Jordan. They didn't want to come over, but they were brought over, and we have Manasseh, Reuben, and Gad. half of Manasseh, half of Reuben, and half Gad. That's down in chapter 13 as we look at that. Those all stayed on the west side. The rest of them came over. But remember, they had to come over in battle. They had to come over and fight. And so, again, through this battle, through this fight, there are 31 kings. And so, and 9.5 tribes are going to do that. You know, there was a, when you come and you see the victory, and you enjoy the victory, and yet there are always battles to go. And we're going to get to the 13th chapter here in just a minute. You'll notice that I went very quickly because it was really just a summary of what they had done. We've been through all those kings in the last couple of chapters, and we find the victory was won, and God lists every one of those kingdoms that has fallen to the hand of Israel. In other words, fallen to the hand of God. Now, as we look at the area and look at what's to come, and then the call for Joshua to go back to battle, you'll find that this isn't a picture of heaven. This is a picture of the Christian's life. We come to the promised land. In other words, we come into the presence of God and enjoy His power, enjoy His strength, but we still have battles. There are still enemies. In heaven, there's no enemies. In heaven, there's going to be no battles. But in the promised land, there was. And so a lot of people kind of misunderstand. They don't realize that the promised land was never to be represented as heaven. It is just to be what the believer can have in Jesus Christ here upon earth. That's what it is. So what a wonderful picture we have. And in studying, there's this beautiful hymn, and I am thine, O Lord. And I would like to read that. And then there was a person that kind of changed the words a little bit. And I'm sorry I didn't write it down who had taken care of, who had made the changes. But here is to the nation of Israel. And the old hymn says, there are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with Thee. Now, they've changed the words just ever so slightly. And listen to this. There are depths of love that I yet may know ere I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I yet may reach ere I rest in peace with Thee. You see, there is always that tomorrow to be stronger in the Lord Jesus. And then, of course, that is that permanent, wonderful resting place in the presence of God when we go home to be in heaven with Him. And so I just thought that was kind of neat to read and hope that you enjoyed it as much as I did. And because we're reading the end of the battle, the finish of the initial battle, the battles that took place, and again, 31 kings in all is what's listed here. And now we come, and we're just going to get started here just a little bit to the 13th chapter, and then we'll go on the next time we're together with the rest of that. But we have the victory, and then it acknowledges the victory and lists the those that were defeated. And now in chapter 13, verse 1, as I had read just a little bit ago, now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines, and all of Gershuai, from Sihor, which is from Egypt, even unto the borders of Ekron northward, which is counted to the Canaanite. Five lords of the Philistines, and the Gazathites, and the Ashdothites, and the Ashkelonites, and the Gittites, and the Ekronites, also the Evatites. From the south, all the land of the Canaanites, and Merah is beside the Sidonians, into Ephek, and to the borders of the Amorites. The land of Giblites, and all of Lebanon, towards the rising sun, from Baal Gad unto Mount Hermon, unto the entering of Hamath. All the inhabitants of the hill country, from Lebanon unto Misrothma and all the Sidonites, whom will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance unto 9 tribes and a half tribe of Manasseh, with whom the Reubenites and the Gadites have received their inheritance, which Moses gave them beyond Jordan eastward, even as Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. From Aroer, that is upon the bank of the river Arnon, and the city that is in the midst of the river, and all the plain of Madaba and Dibon, and all the cities of Sihon, king of the Amorites, which reigneth in Heshbon, unto the border of the children of Ammon. And Gilead, the border of the Geshurites, and the Machathites, and all Mount Hermon, and all Bashan, unto Salca, the king of Og, in Bashan, which reigneth in Ashtaroth and in Edra, who remaineth of the remnant of the giants. For these did Moses smite, cast them out. Nevertheless, the children of Israel expelled not the Geshurites, nor the Machathites, but the Geshurites and the Machathites dwell among the Israelites till this day. Only unto the tribe of Levi he gave none inheritance, and sacrifices the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said unto them. Moses gave unto the tribe of the children of Reuben inheritance according to their families, and their coast was from Aaron, that is on the bank of the river Arnon, and the city that is in the midst of the river, and all the plain of Medeba, Ashbon, and all their cities that are in the plain, Dibon, and Methon, Methabael, and Bethbaalmon, and Jahaz, and Kedboth, Mepheth, Kirjatham, Sibna, Jareth Shahar, in the mount of the valley. We're going to stop reading right there because we're running out of time. I was hoping to read on down to the rest of it. But as we look at all these places, all these lists, God once again gives instructions to Joshua on what to do. And he says, you've got much work to do. I know, Joshua, you're old and stricken in years, but there is much work to do. There's much to remain to do. You know, today, I'm sad to say that we get to a certain age, and then we call it the retired. We're retired now. I mean, you know, it's time for somebody else to do that, somebody else to take care of it. And if you'd look on your on the map again, why you can find some areas, it seemed like it's kind of along the coast and up into Lebanon is areas they just hadn't taken yet. And he told Joshua that it is time to get up and get going here, because there's much work to do, and you have to do it before you die. Now, there's much work for us to do. There is always work around the church. There is always souls to talk to about Jesus. There is so much to do, and there are so few that do it. And we need to see that we get to that age of the government says it's retirement age. You find, you know, the only prayer that I have of my Lord that's concerning that, concerning retirement, things like that, is, God, you give me health and you give me my mind so I can work and serve you till the day I die. I am not working. My goal is not to get enough money so I can retire at a certain age and go play somewhere, whether it's, you know, go south in the winter time, you know, go play golf, whatever I want to do. I have no desire of doing that. I just ask the Lord that he gives me the strength to work every day, to be able to support my family and to continue to preach the gospel till the day I die. That's all that I desire to do. And please, that you recognize that we have a responsibility to proclaim the gospel. Joshua had a responsibility. He had work to do. Joshua, it's time to get up and get back to work. I know you're old and stricken. That means that his health wasn't like Moses. But it didn't matter. God says, get up, let's get to work. Let's finish what we've started here. And we need to do that with each one of our lives. When we're out to reach our area, our family, with the Lord Jesus Christ, let's get up, let's get going, and let's get to work. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?